How are you entrepreneurs? Today we have a very informative one. We have Christina Weary. Think tired, weary, worried, weary. There we go. You're good to go. She is the owner of Christina Weary. Her name is Christina Weary. She's all about Christina Weary and holistic mindset. So you're going to want to listen. You're going to want to subscribe. You want to tell your friends, and you're going to want to pick up a lot of good tidbits out of this one.
Welcome to the Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with real estate agent Vinny SD.
All right, so we are here with Christina Weary. She is a holistic health practitioner, and as you can tell, she is the owner of Christina Weary.
Yep.
All right, so tell everyone that's listening, what is a holistic health practitioner?
Yeah, that's such a good question. So holistic health practitioner is a designation that's unique to the state of California. And essentially was born out of this early 90s, all of these holistic people in California sort of saying they do all sorts of things and there not really being any mandated education requirements from the state because there was no kind of anything around this, right? And so the state came together and said, okay, well, we have to come up with something to say that these people who are going to call themselves some kind of like holistic practitioner of some kind, right, that they can have a formulated education that we can acknowledge and then sort of regulate.
Yeah.
So a holistic health practitioner in the state of California is required to complete education around kinesiology, nutrition, and clinical massage.
Okay.
So you have the option of becoming a massage therapist, which is a licensed designation as well, and then continuing on to become a holistic health practitioner. Holistic health practitioners complete double the number of hours of education that a licensed massage therapist completes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So did you always know you want to be a holistic practitioner?
No.
Okay.
So the short story is that my parents...
We have time.
We have time. You can tell the long story. I can tell you the long story.
So she was born...
I was born in 1986. So my family, for the most part, are doctors.
Okay.
I have, like, you know, a brother that's in finance and then an aunt that's in real estate. But basically everyone else is a doctor. And I was supposed to be a doctor, right? Like, that was not just a family expectation, but it was my own expectation. So all through school, I focused really heavily on maths and sciences. I went to a pre-med focused high school that it's like a magnet program that prepares you for a pre-med undergrad and then prepares you for med school. And what I found out in my later years of high school when we had to move into clinical internships is that I have a very strong empathic response and I pass out whenever there is some kind of intrusion into the body. So whether that's a needle or a scalpel or there's a wound that needs to be cleaned or whatever, I pass out. I just hit the floor.
So once it penetrates the skin?
Yeah.
Or the thought of it?
No, once it actually happens. So I could not do any of these things to a body. I couldn't do it.
Wow.
I'd never had any problems with dissection.
Yeah.
And I never had any issues in cadaver labs, but when it came to a live human being, I just couldn't. I couldn't be in the room. I couldn't do it myself. And I tried for a solid year to get past that and sort of like did cognitive behavioral therapy and like went to counseling and like all these things to see if I could like push past this block in my brain, but I couldn't. And so I really didn't know what I was going to do. I considered veterinary medicine, and I have the same issue with animals. So so I just, like, basically I went into undergrad having no clue what I was going to do with my life. I got a Bachelor of the Arts degree. I double majored and double minored in four things that had nothing to do with each other or really were going to give me any kind of career whatsoever. I studied theater, women's studies, which is basically a history of feminism, religion and public policy. I interned for a number of public officials, and I helped with a few national campaigns, and I interned with a theater company in the state of Vermont, which is where I went to college. And just sort of in those experiences, kind of cobbled together an understanding of marketing and PR.
How long of a period of time were you throwing all this against the wall, seeing what sticks?
The 4 years that I was in school.
Wow, okay, that's a lot. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so you got a lot in.
Yeah.
You got a lot in, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one consistent thing in my life. I fit a lot into every day. So I graduated and I started this career in marketing. And that's really what I did throughout my 20s. But the sort of instigator, if you will, well, there's two. So one is that I've been practicing yoga and meditation since I was really little because my mom was really into it. And I grew up on this farm and we would literally go out into field, you know, in the morning and like practice yoga and Tai Chi. She is a medical doctor, but she's also a Buddhist chaplain. And so my whole life has been gongs and rain sticks and like chanting and all of these things, right? So that was always an underlying part of my life. And there were a few times throughout my 20s that I really wanted to go into a yoga teacher training. And my parents kept encouraging me to not do that because you can't make any money doing that. And, you know, you're going to graduate with a lot of school loans and you should probably make some money to pay those off. And I thought that sounded smart, so I listened to them. My junior year of college, 2007, I did a semester at the University of Sydney in Australia, and I got hit by a bus on a road bike. So without going into that whole story, the moral of it is that I ended up with a bunch of metal in my body and a lot of spinal injuries that were undiagnosed because the focus of my medical care was on things that were more obviously wrong, and they never did any imaging of my spine. So from 2007 until 2014, I had chronic back pain. And I did sort of all of the things that I thought were right for it. I did the chiropractic, I did the massage. I've always been a very active person. I was rock climbing, surfing, mountain biking, skiing, scuba diving, yoga, you name it, right? I like it. And so I didn't really understand what was wrong, and I would just kind of get spot treatments whenever I would have these flares. Until 2014, when I woke up one morning and I couldn't walk because I was in so much pain. I could move my limbs, I could move my toes, but I couldn't actually move because I was in such excruciating pain. I had to have someone actually lift me onto a wheelchair in order to get to my car to go to my first doctor's appointment to figure out what was going on. It was that bad. So that is the sort of catalyst for where I am now. And basically what happened was 6 months of trying everything and just not having any success. Until someone said, hey, like, you might want to get an MRI. And I thought, I literally come from a family of doctors. How is it that no one has ever said this to me? I mean, it makes so much sense. As soon as someone said it, I thought, well, shit. Like, I should probably do that. Like, why has that not been a thing that we've thought of? So I did, and then we found the disc degeneration that I had and the herniations that I had, and then it became really obvious why I was in so much pain, and then the treatment plan became really clear. And in the moment that I found out what was going on in my back, I immediately had like 50% less pain, literally in that moment. And that, I thought, was just the coolest flipping thing, just to watch the body's response to information and to see how powerful the brain is in controlling the pain experience. And that moment specifically really put me down this rabbit hole of education and launched the business that I now own and operate.
So let me backtrack a little bit. So your family, mostly doctors, except your brother and your aunt,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
but your mom's very in the holistic kind of mindset with the Tai Chi, mm-hmm. so on and so forth, right? That, mm-hmm. and I would think most people just looking at it black and white, that would seem like there'd be a disconnect there. Not the case at all. Like for
you know, it's so interesting. The more time you spend in both worlds, mm. the more apparent it is how much they support each other. Mm. There is what I like to call ancient wisdom or ancient understanding of the body that's supported by science now. That in the past, perhaps different words were used or there wasn't the evidence to back the claim, mm. but now there is. It's I think that there is only a disconnect because we make one.
Well, so with your parents being around a lot of doctors and individuals like themselves, would have they ever give you kind of feedback of how many people are, I guess, closed-minded to the holistic way of thinking?
So the easier answer to that question is that I come from Vermont, which is one of the most liberal states nation, right? Like, we think that in California, we're all like super like hippy dippy and whatnot. Yeah. Freaking spend a weekend in Vermont. It is not like we think that we're all loose out here. We are not. We are not loose out here. So where I come from, right? Like where I'm from, no, it's not like there's not as much resistance. Elsewhere in the medical community, absolutely, there's resistance because there is so much history of tension. There's lack of education. In California right now, there is a huge push towards what's being called integrative healthcare, which means the integration of Western and Eastern practices. And younger generations of doctors that are either in medical school now or are completing fellowship or have recently completed fellowship or residency, they are more and more interested in integrative practices for a number of reasons. One, it's an easy way of expanding offerings within their own businesses without the overhead of a doctor, right? So anytime you can expand what you offer with less overhead, the better. There's a lot of billing opportunities now with insurance for integrative practices. And I think any doctor worth their salt really would prefer that the lowest level of treatment that is effective be used first.
So how would that, if it goes into this hybrid mindset, mm-hmm. how would that affect, I guess, practices like yourself? Because now you're getting, people are getting supplemental, I guess, insurance, mm-hmm. allowing them to actually use you and not have to pay it fully out of pocket, and yeah. probably becomes easier and easier. Would that allow yeah. holistic individuals like yourself to grow their practice at a faster rate if it does get?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So I have been working to, it's called contracting with insurance.
Okay.
There are certain insurances that will contract directly with licensed massage therapists and also with chiropractors and acupuncturists, right? We are the three that they tend to work with most often. Licensed yoga therapists can also contract with insurances. But they have to have gone through all of the education requirements and finished the certifying body's requirements before that's possible. So just a yoga teacher could not contract with an insurance provider in order to bill yeah. for a private yoga session. That being said, any sort of integrative treatment that's provided under the purview of a doctor within a medical practice has the potential for billing because there are so many codes now that kind of cover a wide range of things. So there are a number of ways that it improves business outcomes for holistic practitioners of a number of educations, both in the private practice realm, but then also in partnership with medical offices.
Is this pretty much common knowledge? I mean,
probably not.
Yeah, like really. Listen, so how did you come across understanding this ability to do this? Like,
yeah, time and education, right? So in 2015, after I had gotten myself out of pain and I had finished my first yoga teacher training, the first 200-hour thing, I was so impressed with what had happened in my body over the course of a number of months of really intensive study in biomechanics. And I basically what I learned was that I had not been moving properly. So I had been moving a lot, but not moving well. And especially considering the specific issues that I had in my spine, I was basically just exacerbating everything every time I did any kind of activity. So I was so impressed with that that I continued down the rabbit hole of education, and I, you know, did this training program, and then I did that training program, and just kind of continued to meet people. And the most of the training programs that I took part in had a few members of the medical community in them, you know, mm-hmm. people who were already board certified but were also interested in the integrative stuff and wanted to learn themselves. So then, you know, you have conversations with people. And then I, as a yoga therapist, went to work for an integrative addiction treatment facility in La Jolla. And that was the first time that I had clinical integrative experience. Mm-hmm. And seeing how they managed billing and, you know, sort of how they ran their practice and how they managed the treatment plans and how they managed the treatment team and sort of how everyone communicated with each other around patient care. Was really impressive, really cohesive, and sort of solidified for me what I imagined to be my long-term goal for my business.
Oh, wow. Okay. So looking at, since you've been in the business, mm-hmm. and it's been a couple of years, mm-hmm. what kind of hurdles or obstacles have you had to overcome?
Yeah. The biggest challenge for me, well, I had two. One, the first time I started my own business outside of, you know, the realm of marketing was sort of later in 2015, and I started a small studio where I was offering private yoga therapy because I was so passionate about the movement portion and really didn't have much success. I had a few people sort of trickling in, but definitely not enough to support myself by any stretch of the imagination. And it sort of took me a while to figure out what the right mix of offerings were that would draw people in. And luckily, I really love all of the things that I offer because I now that I know sort of what people are most interested in, which is really the manual work, right? I hate to say it, but no one wants to put in effort.
That's our society.
You know, like they want the healing to come from the outside, yeah. which is not how it happens.
Yeah.
That's not how it happens. But that's the gateway, and that's fine. I'm totally cool with that. So once I figured out what the gateway was and what would bring people into an office, then we start the dialogue. They feel the results. You know, they begin to trust that I know what I'm talking about. And then I can say, okay, now these are the things that are actually going to make the changes, and this is what we need you to be doing. So
what's that instant gratification that you're offering them to get out of the door?
That's the manual work. So what I do is neuromuscular therapy, which is a particular type of deep tissue massage.
Okay.
So I focus very specifically on regions of the body. So if someone is having neck pain, there is a sort of kinetic line that I focus on to treat that neck pain, depending on exactly where the pain is and during what type of movement. So then, you know, again, kind of from there, we move on to the other stuff. So one, right, what's essentially, if you were like boiling it down to the business language, what's the right product, right? What's the right product to get people in the door, whether or not that's the product you actually want to sell them.
So you're getting the deep tissue and then work it towards comes to like yoga or what's the process of like your, I guess, most dedicated clients?
So my most dedicated clients, I see once a week, and we do a little bit of movement and a little bit of neuromuscular therapy. And the NMT is really to it's an acute treatment, right? It sort of gets relief either in the moment, depending on what exactly is happening in the body. Sometimes it takes longer, right? But it sort of gets the relief enough that people are feeling like there's change happening, right? It sort of keeps that forward momentum. Because the movement stuff does take longer. It wouldn't take as long if everyone were willing to devote an hour or so a day to the movement work. But most people just aren't, they're not willing to do that, right?
For the movement work for an hour a day, is that like stretching? Is that like poses?
Yeah. So what I offer is a movement practice that is a combination of primal movement, body weight, exercise, yoga. You could say Pilates or animal flow if anyone's familiar with animal flow.
Animal fries maybe, but I don't
know. Animal fries. Now I'm hungry. Lunchtime. But the point of the way that I teach, because it's always not what you do, but how you do it, right? Is that you're moving the body really slowly, attentively, and in combination with deep breath. So something that in a traditional corrective exercise, whether that's PT or whatever situation, a movement that might take 3 seconds in that context, in my context, might take 15 to 30 seconds. And to be honest, I don't know why that is so much more effective. I mean, I have notions, but I don't know, but I have the evidence that it is.
So you're expanding it from the 3 seconds to the 15 seconds, but by doing it a little bit longer, it just gives an extra.
I mean, the difference. So for example, if we talk about a thoracic rotation, right?
Yeah.
A super common thoracic rotation, sort of one arm in front, opposite arm behind. Okay. Now, if you were in a PT setting and they said do that 15 times, right? Someone would do this. One. Two,
yeah.
Three, right?
And she just moved her hands really fast. Right? You can't see it, but she moved her hands very fast.
And when you do that, there's just not that much happening in the body.
Yeah.
So we know that red tissue that is vascular, meaning there is blood flow to it, right? So muscle specifically. It can begin to move within 30 seconds. And by move, I mean have lasting change that impacts its shape or length. Okay. White tissue, meaning tissue that is not vascular, meaning connective tissue, fascia in the body, does not begin to move in a way that has lasting change until the 2 or 3 minute mark.
Oh, wow.
So because white tissue is what provides all of the structure, and with structure comes rigidity, that's what you actually want to impact. Okay, so the difference between sort of moving in that way, right, that's like super fast, and then moving in a way that is with breath, where you're sort of inhaling really, really slowly, and then opening as you exhale really, really slowly, and then you're holding here for a few rounds of breath. And again, you're sort of breathing in this way that's at least 10 seconds long for each breath. And then you sort of move back with your arm overhead really, really slowly. And the whole time you're sort of reaching through the full range of motion. So, you know, again, if you're sort of moving quickly, there's not much effort in the arm. But when you're moving slowly, you can really work and really reach and sort of draw the muscle, the soft tissue in its entirety, muscle and connective tissues, through that full range of motion and have some kind of actual impact.
Yeah.
And the importance of length in soft tissue on strength is sort of basic mechanical physics. For all of you mechanical physics nerds listening to this business podcast.
For everyone else, get ready to take a nap.
But essentially, the longer something is, the more leverage it has and the more kinetic potential. So if you've ever watched baseball, right, yeah, and you've seen a pitcher, they pull their arm back as far as it will freaking possibly go before they throw it, right? Because they're maximizing kinetic potential. Hmm. The further back they move, the more leverage the arm has, the more kinetic potential the muscles have. Same is true for any movement in the body. And it's not always about creating that length in the moment, but creating that length within the sort of natural state. So a lot of my clients are athletes, and they work with me because they're using their bodies a lot. They have a lot of pain anyway. But a side benefit of getting out of pain is that they become stronger. Hmm. And it's not just the mental impact of not being pain or not having pain, but it's the mechanical impact of the work on the muscle itself.
With how have you been able to pick up your follower base? Like, is it, because that had to be a hurdle too, I'm assuming, right?
You know, so the second answer to your question of what were some challenges, right? So finding the right product mix was a challenge, but then finding the right location.
Okay.
So the office that I had was up in North County, and I don't know why it didn't do well for me, but it just didn't, right? Again, I think product mix, but I think also location. The office that I have now, literally from the moment that I set a table in that room, I have had business. I have not had a single down month. I have grown consistently month over month for the past 2 years.
Wow.
And I wish that I could say it was because I'm so fabulous. I mean, I am, but also, like, there's just something about it. There's something about it. I can't.
Just location.
Yeah, location was great. It's a beautiful building. Parking is easy. I think the environment in the building itself, the other types of people that have offices there, like that whole thing, it's really welcoming. It's friendly. It's light. It's relaxing. Those are all beneficial.
So is most of your business word of mouth?
Oh, 100% of my business is word of mouth. Wow. I don't do any paid advertising.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not even when you started?
No.
Wow. Hmm.
No. Actually, no, I take that back. So the first 2 months that I was open, I paid for Google AdWords, and then I stopped because I was getting no clients from it, one. And two, I was monitoring, and again, right, my background's in marketing. I know digital marketing. I've run many Google AdWords campaigns. I know how to set them up. All of the search terms that I was coming up under were like for sexual massage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. And so, right? Like, that's not.
Welcome to San Diego.
Yeah, not my target audience. And dude, let me tell you, there are some freaks in this city. You have no idea. I learned so much in those 2 months of monitoring these search terms about things that I didn't even know were a thing. Like, so, there is that.
Well, we're all about educating people here. How about you? No, I'm joking. So, if you had to look at your younger self, besides learning all that information about the freaks in San Diego, what kind of advice would you tell your younger self or tell someone else looking to get into the holistic industry?
So, regardless of whether it's holistic industry or whatever the industry is, I feel really strongly that there is a thing that we are all supposed to do. And it is the thing that's inside of you that you always think about doing, right? That's the thing that you're supposed to do. And I feel that the universe will continually present you with opportunities to do that thing. Mm. And I think maybe, I don't know, maybe for some people, you know, there's enough contentment doing just something. And maybe there never comes this like big moment where they really must do this thing that they're meant to do. But for me, it literally, the universe just kept giving me opportunity and giving me opportunity and giving me opportunity and giving me opportunity until the point that it said, okay, this is the thing you're supposed to do. You haven't done it yet. We're going to incapacitate you physically and force you to learn about all of these things and then get you into this thing that you're supposed to do. So I think that everyone really should be listening to that inner thing that says, right, like, I want to do this, because I feel that when you are doing that thing, everything comes the way that it's supposed to, right? It's like the thing that you are naturally gifted with.
So there's two ways to look at that. Basically what she's saying is there's a pain and pleasure. The pleasure of finding that opportunity at your fingertips, or the pain of getting hit by a car.
Exactly.
So better keep your eyes open for what the universe is telling you.
I think so, yeah. Because otherwise, man, I mean, it will knock real loud at your door, and you don't necessarily want the way that it's going to deliver that message.
So what's next for you and your company, Christina Weary?
Yeah, what's next for the very well-branded Christina Weary? Everything is, right? It's like my Instagram, my Twitter, Facebook, my website. Like, it's all just my name. Yeah. You Google my name, I come up a lot of places. What's next? Okay, so immediately on the horizon is a campaign that I am working to cross-collaborate with a number of health and fitness influencers on Instagram called Active American. It's something that we are running in July because all of the major chronic conditions that plague America can be improved with activity. Some of them can be completely resolved with activity, right? We're talking about obesity, anxiety, depression, chronic pain. I won't go into all of the numbers, but it's staggering, right? We're at a 40% obesity rate. It's just insane. And we're talking morbid clinical obesity, not just the vanity 5 or 10 pounds, right?
Do you know what it was like 10 years ago, or how fast will we?
We've grown, I don't exactly know what it was 10 years ago. I think it was in the mid 30s. So we've grown a few percentage points every few years. Yeah.
Wow. What do you think that's due to?
Oh, goodness. I mean, that could be a whole dissertation in and of itself, right? I will say that nutrition, we know, is 70% of physical body composition outside of activity. And we know that we are not the best at eating well in this country, right? Not only do we have issues with like food availability, I forget exactly what it's called. It's not food scarcity, but they call them like food wastelands or something like that. Like communities where there are not grocery stores that have fresh produce available. There are many communities like that, even just here in San Diego, right? Where within a reasonable walking distance of someone's home, there is not the ability to purchase fresh produce. And then when you are in those stores, I've gone into a few stores in communities that I've lived in because, let's face it, rent was cheap. And the kinds of foods that are available is appalling. You know, there's no nutritional value whatsoever. And there's insane amounts of sugar, insane numbers of fats that are really bad for the heart as well as the vascular system. So I think just availability is an issue with that. And then education. You know, I think most of us, the last time we took any kind of science class that had to do with the physical body was maybe eighth grade or freshman year of high school, right?
And the understanding of the body has changed over that time.
Understanding of the body has changed quite a bit since then, absolutely, especially depending on how old you are, right? And then, I mean, as much as I'd like to say that every child in school is paying really close attention to the things that are the most important, probably not, right?
Well, that's shocking. I don't know what you're talking about there.
So, like, not only was it a really long time ago, it also probably wasn't that important to you then, right? You weren't thinking to yourself, you know, there's going to be a time when I'm, like, 40 years from now that this is going to be really important and I should remember what's being said. Like, it's just not – we don't think that way when we're 13, right? It's just not the way the brain works. Unfortunately, it doesn't fully myelinate until we're in our late 20s, right? And so that means that it's not even registering information efficiently until you're 27, 28, 29 years old. The prefrontal cortex isn't fully online until you're that old as well. And that essentially controls all of your rational thought. So you literally cannot think rationally until you're nearly 30 years old.
Wow.
And then we focus all of the most important pieces of education, like when you're like 10 to 18. So you can't prioritize what's coming in.
Yeah.
Okay. So a couple of possibilities of why these things are such big issues.
Fair enough. So, and then also you're talking before that you're one of the founding members of GirlBoss, right?
Yeah, GirlBoss.
So that's a group of female entrepreneurs,
yep,
that help each other out.
Yep.
Understand, grow, so on and so forth, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
What's some of the best tidbits that you've heard or you've come together in there?
You know, some of my, what always motivates me specifically, I think is, I hate to say this in public, but I'm going to say it. I am very financially motivated, right? Like I want financial stability. And there was something that I read the other day that said, be so financially stable that you're not worried about the next paycheck, right? Or like you forget that payday is around the corner or something to that effect. And I think that's really valuable. And it's not just about the money that you're making, but it's also about being financially responsible with the money that you're making, right? So it's holding to a budget. It's not living outside your means so that whatever is coming in, there is something being set aside,
yeah,
right? So that there's always this reserve. It's being prudent and planning and all of that. I think like society, but I think certainly our generation, the millennial, well, oh God, I hate being a millennial, but apparently I am a millennial. And I really resent that. But anyway, so the millennial generation, you know, we sort of get caught up in this, like, have to look a certain way and wear new things all the time and go out to eat. There was an article that I read a couple of months ago. Actually, it was probably over a year ago now, let's be real. It was a comic article about how avocado toast is bankrupting the millennial generation. And it's just like, I mean, it's true. It's a freaking piece of bread. You know, and you're paying $9 for it. It's absurd.
Is that how much that goes for?
Oh my God, yeah. Oh gosh, yes.
As you can tell, I did not eat that.
Yeah, not eating avocado toast, Vinny, over here. So yeah, I don't know. I try to be humble, but within the GirlBoss community, I tend to be providing more mentorship than receiving mentorship at this stage. So, yeah.
Well, there's room for growth then.
There's definitely room for growth.
So for everyone listening out there and they're looking, they live in San Diego or they want to be part of the GirlBoss or whatever it might be, how would be the best way of getting in contact with you, finding your information, all that good stuff?
So the easiest way of doing all of that in one place is Instagram.
Okay.
And it's my name, Christina Weary, Wehry, because you can message me. There are links to GirlBoss, there are links to my website, right? It's just sort of like all in one spot. You can sort of get yourself to a number of different places from there. You can learn more about what I do. I get messaged constantly and I try to respond within 24 hours to everyone who does message me. So I'm happy to answer questions about entrepreneurship, about chronic pain, about healthcare, about the state of American obesity, like whatever you want.
It's a big spectrum of questions you might be getting on Instagram now. So hopefully all you entrepreneurs got a great understanding of the holistic industry, got an understanding of the mindset, and understanding that you just got to follow that dream. And because if you don't follow the dream, you might get hit by a car.
You might get hit by a bus. And it's, you know, you have to work for it. You have to work hard and long years of doing that. But it can happen.
Well, again, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and please subscribe, tell your friends, and love to hear your feedback. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.vinnysd.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. Team Vinny SD, signing off.